My goodness, that was fun. Well, you know the sermon this morning is saints and sinners. So I thought we'd just get right to it and go ahead and divide you guys up. Like maybe we can still stay socially distanced, but we can put the sinners on one side and the saints on the other. And I'm going to just go through a few things, and you don't have to raise your hands, but I just want to get us started on the sorting. So I'm going to ask a few questions. Have you ever left a good friend hanging while you took care of yourself? Have you ever insisted on doing your own research despite the knowledge and personal experience of every other person in the room? Have you ever been jealous when a boss, a teacher, a parent, or someone you admire paid more attention to someone else? Have you ever fought over an inheritance, lobbied too aggressively for a promotion, told a teacher or supervisor that their ideas were outlandish and unacceptable and that you would have no part in them? Physically assaulted authorities, shown blatant disrespect for women or people of other religions or ethnicities? Okay, so any of you who answered yes to any of those questions would need to move to my right. Just in a second here, okay? You're going to need to move to my right. But, well, I don't know. We've got a few more people than I was expecting, so that might not work really well. So just stay where you are, but know that you answered yes to some of those questions. And I want you to, as you sit there knowing you answered yes to some of those questions, I want you to be pleased with yourself, because what I want you to understand is that you would be moving to my right, which is the saints section. Now, I see some looks. Did I get that wrong? You would be moving to the saints section, right? Like St. Peter? I do not know the man. Like St. Thomas? Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Like St. James and St. John, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left when you come into your glory. St. Peter again. All the saints, tell her to go away. She's bothering us with all her begging, Jesus. St. Peter again. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. And we remember all those who have died, the great communion of saints, and particularly those who have died in the past year, saints, everyone, even those who hurt us, even those we couldn't understand, even those we still have an argument with. We sit at their bedside, literally or figuratively, and we love them. And we're hurt by them. We're hurt by their leaving. We're hurt by the things they never told us that we needed to hear, or that we needed them to hear. We're confused. We feel bad that we couldn't love them like a son should love his mother. We feel bad that we can't forgive them for not knowing how to be a father. We know we will never have another friend that accepts us so unconditionally. So how could you leave me? Oh God, why her? Why them? Why now? On All Saints' Day, we confront our mortality again. It's another day in the life of the church to acknowledge that from dust we have come and to dust we will return. But it's also a day to acknowledge that in life and in death we belong to God. Sinners and saints. And on All Saints Day, we acknowledge that the church exists for both sinners and saints, and that they most often exist within the same person. One of my favorite quotes from Frederick Buechner, he said, on All Saints Day, it's not just the saints of the church that we should remember in our prayers, but all the foolish ones and the wise ones, the shy ones and overbearing ones, the broken ones and the whole ones, the despots and tosspots and crackpots of our lives, who one way or another have been our particular fathers and mothers and saints, and whom we loved without knowing we loved them, and by whom we were helped to whatever little we may have or ever hope to have of some kind of seedy sainthood of our own. I love that. I love the hope in that and the redemption in that. It reminds me of my friend Judy Cowan, whose legacy to this church we honor on All Saints Sunday with the Judy Cowan Saints Alive Award. Loving Judy sometimes was like loving a porcupine. Sometimes you'd feel all warm and sentimental about her and go in for a literal or figurative hug and everything was fine. And the next time she'd have those quills out. But it was so worth the risk to love and be loved by Judy Cowan. And Judy was not prickly about Jesus. Judy loved Jesus. And her love extended to Jesus' body, to the church. She is perhaps the only person I know who literally gave sacrificially of her time, of her talent, of her treasure to her church, and she was never prickly about that. It gave her great joy to serve God, to serve us. The Saints Alive Award that we're about to present has gone through many iterations over the years, but 10 years ago, we renewed the tradition as the Judy Cowan Saints Alive Award in honor of her, a founding member, a deacon, a board member, a joyfully dedicated volunteer. And I've said this all 10 years, that every year it gets more difficult to select Saints Alive recipients out of the large number of dedicated volunteers that we have, those who bless our congregation and the larger community. There is so many of you who give your time and your talents unselfishly and joyfully, and I hope you know how much you are loved and appreciated. And for those of you who are past recipients, I hope you know that even though we only publicly recognize you once, we appreciate you always. This year, when we began to consider two people or maybe two teams that we wanted to recognize, it became clear very quickly that to recognize only two or five people wouldn't cut it. Because you see, we individuals are not the only ones who have been at risk over the last 20 months from COVID. The church has too. The church is the body of Christ, the gathered body of Christ, figuring out how to live and love and serve together. And we couldn't do it. We couldn't come together. We tried all kinds of things, including Facebook Live. And thank God we had that. And yet we couldn't come together. And so this morning, I thank God for those of you who took our church upon your shoulders and upon your hearts and refused to let us grow apart. I'm talking about the ones of you who made sure that no one was forgotten while we were apart, that sent cards and helped us make crafts together, and those who hosted on the eights and game nights every week since the pandemic started. And those of you who made weekly grocery deliveries to families who were in need and couldn't get out, and those who have continued to help take care of our building even when no one was in it, and taking care of the labyrinth that people haven't been able to walk. People who made sure that the children had activities on Sunday morning with Sunday school, and made sure that the LGBTQ kids knew that they had a welcoming community in Chrysalis Q. Those of you who kept working on the shower truck when we didn't know when we could take it out, and led book studies so that people could feel that connection. Those of you who kept doing the work of the church, like making sure we were in good shape administratively and that our policies and procedures and things that lots of people don't want to bother with were up to date. And those of you who came to every work day that was offered, no matter what we were doing, and who volunteered to do activities with those LGBT kids in Chrysalis. Those of you who stepped in because we asked you to do AV or participate in our music department. I mean, just whatever. Whatever you could do to help keep this body of Christ connected. And even though we are recognizing more of you than we ever have, I feel certain that we will leave some out. But that is not our intention. To those of you who stepped it up, those of you who renewed and upped your commitment to the Brown Bag Project, who made sure that the cancer support group continued to function and that people knew they were cared for, all of you, thank you. I'm going to read this list of names, 15, and I ask you to stand where you are, and if you're not here, maybe you can just give us a little smile or a hello on Facebook. But I want you to know these people have kept us together for all these long months. If you're here, will you just stand up so we can recognize you and stay standing? Catherine Lunsford, Rebecca Rocha, Becky Lee, Scott Sternhagen. You can clap all the way through, that's fine. Bill Manning, Kay Young, Josephine Williamson, Peggy Belcher, Diana Ignacio, Karina Lewis, Paul Grunenwald, Craig Cowson, Gail Wallet, Nancy Guerin, Chris Hall. You are our saints alive. Thank you. Joe is going to put that plaque up, that new plaque with all those names. He's going to put it back there so you can see it. It basically has the names, and it says that God rejoices in a joyful giver, and all of you are that. And you know, that's the good stuff, right? And it's because of the good stuff, this amazing stuff that we humans sometimes, with the grace of God, manage to get right, it's because of this stuff that we can do the hard stuff. Listen to this morning's scripture. It's the hard stuff. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray Jesus to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. When it was evening, Judas came with the other 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." And Jesus said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the chosen one goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." This verse here is one of the hardest for me in all of Scripture. "For the chosen one goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." If we weren't working our way systematically through the book of Mark, and if we hadn't gotten to that point, you can bet I'd have skipped over it. What is that? Is Jesus really saying that Judas was destined for all time to be the one to betray him? Really? I mean, the authorities knew for a long time who Jesus was, what he was saying, what he was doing, where he was. They could have apprehended him at any time. They were worried about the optics, so they kept delaying. Could Judas have done anything differently? And if he'd never been born, would Jesus not have been crucified, or would someone else have been destined to betray Jesus? What the heck? I can't offer you easy answers and explanations today about this, but because it's All Saints Day, I just want to say, thank God I have all of you to struggle with. Thank God I have all of you to help me figure this out, or if I can't figure it out, to feel better about not figuring it out. You know, I think a lot of life is just like these few verses, right? I mean, if we think we're just going to open up the scriptures and find the answers to global warming or reproductive rights or who should have guns, or how do we support the police and hold them accountable, or when will we learn that we are all beautiful beneath the skin and in it? All of that is difficult. And on today, as we, as the church are gathered, sinners and saints, I hope that we can give thanks for all of those who have gone before, like our friend Judy, who have helped us understand what it is to live a faithful life. And sadly, some of those who have gone before have taught us more about how we don't wish to live. On today, we remember that we are all sinners and all saints. And we remember this, the most important piece from this very difficult scripture. Jesus fed Judas. knowing what he was about to do, knowing that he was confused, Jesus fed Judas. It wasn't perfect, and neither were the other 11. I thank God I have all of you to remind me that none of us, even the ones who are doggone close, none of us are perfect. And Jesus can handle it. Despite it all, Jesus fed Judas. Jesus feeds and sustains us, sustains the church. I want to close this morning with some words from my friend Amelia Fulbright. You know, when Sunday is October 31st, pastors wrestle with, oh, do we do All Saints today or do we do it next week? And there's no rhyme or reason or doctrine behind why we chose this week, except I've decided long ago that if we will always do it on the first Sunday in November, no matter what, if it's the first or the second or the seventh, then I wouldn't have to worry about it every single time. So we celebrate it today. My friend Amelia, who is a pastor in a downtown Austin church, celebrated All Saints Day last week. So I get to take advantage of some of her very wise words. And I share these words with you today. Her sermon was called The Prophetic Child. And here's what Amelia said. When our children grow up with an understanding of how to hear God's call in their lives, and when they have the courage to live into that calling by calling the church to account and offering us a critique that will make us better, then we know that we have done something successful. Paradoxically, this does not mean that the church has failed. It means that the church is raising up a generation of prophets. And the test of our success or failure will be whether we can heed their warnings and make the necessary changes here and now. And this is where Amelia speaks to most of us. I think sometimes we in older generations cling tightly to the way things were or are because we fear our own irrelevancy. We let our whats take over our whys. We let our forms, the way the building looks or the established practices and routines, become more important than our values. But the call of God on our lives, as it was for every prophet in Scripture, is to carry the values forward, not the forms. We who are older are not irrelevant in the new thing God is doing. The role we play is critical. But the role is not the preservation of this institution as it is. Our role is to ensure that the next generation of church leaders know how to hear the voice of God and how to carry the church forward in new, more faithful forms. On this morning, this All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have gone before. But it is also the perfect time to look back over our own lives and remember what our values are and what is important to us and what does God ask for us. And who needs us? And here's one that I bet you don't think of nearly often enough. A young girl asked her mother, "What are saints?" And her mother tried to explain as best she could. The little girl nodded her head. But then she looked up onto the church wall and saw the stained glass window and the light coming through. And she said to her mama, is that a saint? And her mother said, yes, that's a saint. And the little girl said, now I understand. Saints are people that the light shines through. You are someone's saint. Someone is counting on you to shine your light. So in just a moment, as we remember those who have passed from us, those that we love during this year, remember their gifts to your life and think about the gifts that you would like to pass on before it is your time to be remembered.